Ask your neighbor, do you fear the Lord?
Do you fear the Lord?
It's very important too. That thing is not a joke. Let me say it again. The fact that God loves us does not give us the right to behave anyhow. Let me say this again. If you continue walking against the will of God, one day you will suffer the judgment. People say God will allow the devil. Some say, no, it's not God that will allow the devil. It's God himself that will do something. Whether God allows or God does, if the Lord kills a man, he's still dead. Whether it is God that killed him or God only allowed the devil to kill him, a dead man is a dead man. Do you understand the principle there? And listen, let's not joke with the Lord and take the things of God for granted. Like I say all the time, if you're a preacher, treat this word with care. Don't use it for your own ends. Don't use it for your own purposes. Don't twist it to solve your own personal problems. If you're angry with somebody, do not mount the pulpit and turn the man to a preaching point. That is an abuse of office. Do you follow my point? If a man is owing you money as a preacher, not as a normal Christian, as a preacher, don't use the word of God to preach so he can pay. Even though what you are saying is right, it's an abuse of office. If your wife is annoying you and she's a member of your church, all right, don't mount the pulpit and turn her and start preaching so that she will hear. If you want to preach to her, sit her down and say, I have a message for you. Sit here. But don't use the pulpit to try and manipulate your home, even though it's for a good, you think it is good. Many of these things are abuse. We are abusing the office. We are not handling the word of God purely. We are handling the word of God deceitfully. All right? And preachers often do it. You must not handle the word of God deceitfully. Sometimes we think that what we are doing is right. But it's actually not right. Once it's our own personal agenda, it's never right. You should use the word of God all the time to correct people, all right, concerning their own righteous walk in life. You should use the word of God to direct people towards righteousness as a matter of habit, not because you want something personally. You don't say the church is not growing, so you now say those who are not winning souls, they are not wise. And the reason why you are saying it all the time is because you are angry that the church is not growing. You should be able to teach people that if you win souls and they don't come here, it is good. As long as they enter into the kingdom of God. There is a church that is closer to the person's house than your church. It is all right. I'm just going to say, if you're a preacher, treat this thing with care. Handle it like, the other day I was watching How America Was Built, all right, a documentary films on it. And we're talking about when they had to build the Hoover Dam and how they had to, blast through rock and stuff like that. And there was a time, the chemist invented one of these explosives that was so explosive, they couldn't transport it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you manufacture it in Lagos, to bring it to Enugu was a problem because it's likely to blow up on the way. So they had to set up a lab near the site so as to make the explosives. And you will see the people handling it with care that, listen, if the thing drops, it can blow everybody to pieces. I want us to handle the word of God like that. That we don't treat it anyhow. Why? Because the Lord, our God, is actually still a consuming fire. He did not retire from consuming when Jesus died. That's what we think about sometimes. We think that Christianity allows for licentiousness, living carelessly. It is not true. It is not true. Christianity actually sets a higher standard for us. Like Jesus said, under the old covenant, a man must not commit adultery. All right? Under the new covenant, a man must not even think about it in his heart. Which one is more difficult? Which one is more stringent? Do you understand? And Paul says something, right in the book of Hebrews, all right? In that book of Hebrews you read, he said that let's just quickly open to it. I quoted it the other day, but I didn't read it. Let's just read it so that you understand that Christianity is serious business. It's serious business. The fact that God has not begun to do some things against us does not mean he does not do such things, or he cannot, or we think because we are Christians, we are just allowed to do what we want to do as if it doesn't matter. I say to you again today, it does. Quickly go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, just to show that under the new covenant, things are tighter. We are called to a higher level of responsibility. The only difference is that we have the empowerment. It says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unutterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. He said, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testified with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. What was he saying here? He was saying that if the people under the old covenant, all right, suffered some consequences for treating the word of God with levity, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect such great a salvation? What was he trying to say? That under the new covenant, what God has prepared is more serious. For that reason, we should take it more serious because the consequences of neglecting it will also be more severe. The kind of nonsense I hear these days sometimes is annoying. You see a man, I heard this a few days ago, a deacon in a church, his wife is pregnant. He begins to chase another woman and tells the woman, what is the relationship about? If you can't go to bed with me and you're a deacon in the church, listen to me, the time in which God just allowed those things to pass has passed. Sometimes God just allows things to be for a while because he's hoping that messages like this will come forth and change your mind. And if your mind will not change, you will suffer the consequences. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We read before in that 1 John chapter 5 that a Christian is committing sin, a brother is committing sin. Yes, we can pray for him. He said, but, now I'm paraphrasing now, if he makes it a habit, okay, the seed of God is not in him. That such a person, ignore him. He will suffer his consequences. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. There is a call again to a standard of living that is holier than what the world does, which we are supposed to be living by anyway. We should be known. That's what I've been talking about, the culture of Christianity. We must be known by the standard that we use that is superior to that of the world, so that even if people did not hear the name of our church or they did not even know that we're Christians, just by observing the way we do things, they will know this fellow is different. That is all I have been trying to explain to people. You cannot say everybody does it because I'm a policeman, so I admit I will collect Roger. If you collect Roger, your own Roger will harm you. I'm telling you. Don't say because you're a Christian, you're covered. You are not covered. The only thing that it does for you as a believer is that you have the power to refuse. And God can bless you in life. You can pray and God will solve your problems. You can't say this how everybody does. You continue doing it. People must know that this man is different. They must know that this woman, she's different. One of our brothers in his office, there was a man, he pastor in his supposedly a pastor. Everybody in the office knows that he's a womanizer. Anything wearing skirt hides from him. Yet, he opened his mouth and said, the fact that we are men of God doesn't mean we are holy. And some people are begging to be punished. I saw a mafia movie once. Some boys went and attacked a restaurant that belongs to a mafia boss. And one of the mafia enforcers said, these men were begging to be made examples. I never forgot that expression. He said, these people were begging to be made examples. And sometimes we Christians behave like that. You know, when David sinned, listen, what I'm telling you is the truth of the word of God. If anybody tells that I'm not preaching grace, he doesn't understand grace. Grace does not mean anything I do is okay. Grace means that if I say I'm not committing sin, I have the power not to. That's what grace means. Grace means that even if I want to sin, my body shouldn't agree. Because the power of Christ is working in me. Grace does not mean I excuse every nonsense I do because I say it's grace. No. I'm under grace. It doesn't matter. It matters. That's what I'm explaining. It is a lie. We are not telling the truth. This was what people did when they took the gospel of James, of Paul, when he was talking about righteousness by faith. They thought it meant that I'm righteous no matter what I do. James had to write to correct it. James said, and I want to say it again, even though I've said it, I don't know, countless times here, but we can't say this enough. Righteousness is by faith. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Righteousness is not by works. You are not getting to heaven because of what you did or did not do. You are getting to heaven because of who you know. It's a principle of life. It is who you know. You know the Lord Jesus, he takes you to heaven, introduces you to the Father. That's a matter of fact. However, if your faith does not produce works, it's dead. That means your righteousness is also dead. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. James said, faith without works is dead, being by itself. Do you understand? The righteousness that faith claimed to have produced is also dead. Is righteousness by works? No. But the works lets us know that we are righteous indeed. So if you want to know whether you're a true believer, if your life has been the same for the last 10 years, like when we were praying just now, what Yinka was referring to. Somebody said, I've been going to church for the last how many years? I can't see any change in my life. If I'm happy, that person has insight. That's already changed. Are you getting my point? Some people don't care. You see pastors, people will say, don't lend him money. You want to sell to him on credit. And he's a pastor. One day, one of my very senior colleagues, he built a house and rented it out. You know, contrary to what people do these days, 2 years rent and all of that. He said, no, let him just rent it out. That, no, that's a lot of money. It's expended and just pay the way we did. Let's take a year's rent. So he did that voluntarily. New house. So one day we're talking. He said he has told his lawyer to sue the people. I said, why? He said, because a particular church in this town rented it from their pastor. A pastor is staying in there, the church is not paying rent. It's not like they are broke. They are not broke. It's just their habit. Are you getting my point? They are known for it. So one day I was talking to the man. I said, which church? He told me the name of the church in my mind. Ah, mistake. I said, sue. Ah! I started thinking, how do I join to plot against a body of Christians? So I was advising, I said, sir, no need to sue. I said, suing them, you know the way the legal system is slow. Let's do something. I was telling God, forgive me. Forgive me the counsel I'm about to give. I said, they understand two things. I know them. I said, one of the things they understand is public embarrassment. Threaten to embarrass them publicly, they will pay you your money. Now, why did I go to that level? Because I know that is the kind of thing they like. Shine outside. I said, sir, don't worry about suing them. We're going to court. I said, threaten to embarrass them. They will pay you. What am I going to say? Is that a bad testimony? Are you getting my point? Christians, I mean, we have to talk about these things. That's the reason why some of the prayers we pray, God can't hear them. Because we say to the Lord, judge corruption in the land. God says, I have to start in my house. I'm that fair. You have the power to walk above corruption. You are walking in it. How should I judge those who do not have the power? That's my emphasis. We Christians, our culture is a culture of purity. Our culture is a culture of honesty. Our culture is a culture of sincerity. Our culture is a culture of truth. We don't tell lies. No, it amazed me that I had to be telling Christians that Christians don't lie. As a young boy, those are the one when I remember 1985. No, 1980s, or 87 thereabout. I was a campus student. We at home, you know, so play for ordinary basketball. That was when I learned basketball. We at home, Sir Priot. That was 89. Sir Priot was 89, yes. My friends, I joined them to learn to play basketball. Of course, you know the way boys would like to tell lies. Oh, I wasn't the one that touched the line. You know those kind of things. I didn't touch it. I know I didn't dribble twice. You know those kind of stuff. It got to a point. I became the arbiter. They would say, ask him. He doesn't tell lies. Do you know, friend, I didn't think it was a big deal. It was just supposed to be the normal of the life of a Christian. Who touched that ball last? Ask Banky. He doesn't tell lies. That's the culture. You are getting what I'm going to explain here. We make a habit of doing what is good. And what I'm teaching today is the fear of God. You know, we're on this fear of God thing now for about 2 sessions. This is our third. Why do we do that? Because indeed, God will have to punish us if we continue to do what is wrong. And I'm saying it, there's no gospel of grace that can say I'm lying. God disciplines his children that persist in doing iniquity. When they don't listen, eventually he kills them. Not the devil. He says, what you are doing to me on the earth is not good. I'll take you out from there. The embarrassment is enough. Go and listen to David. What David went through was not because Jesus hadn't died. David went through what he did because God said, you should have known better. He went to bed with Bathsheba. God didn't say anything. Then God brought something that would make him quickly realize what he did was bad. He should quickly repent. He plotted and killed Uriah. Then one day God now walked and said, you are done. Yes. Told him a story. He was burning hot. How can a man take a goat and kill a goat? Nathan said to him, Shay, you have now judged yourself. He said, I am sorry. God said, I have forgiven you. Nevertheless, I'm not threatening you that God will do that to you for what you did 6 years ago. 6 years ago is over. All right? You have been forgiven. It is the one you are doing after today you have heard me that I'm warning you about. Because it's what is called mocking God. What does it mean to mock God? To know what is right to do. And do the opposite. Hoping that one day I will go and say sorry. God said, I will hear your sorry, but I will make you regret that decision. When the Lord was through with David, you don't want to go through what David went through. And you must understand, things were recorded for our learning. Many years ago, a man came and preached from the book of Job. I never understood that it was possible for such revelation to come from that book of Job. He said this was placed in the scriptures to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. So that no matter what you go through in life, you know you don't need to deny God. The Lord is still with you. That's an example. David also, I'm telling you, what he suffered was not corrected by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was a lesson for us. To whom much is given, much is expected. Some of these prayers we prayed the other day, Christians, it will happen to, first of all. You go, you join politics, you harass people, you steal money, you know, do all kind of things. You will die in poverty, and there's no tithing that can deliver you. Some of these things you see in town. The reason why God hasn't spoken is because Christians are doing them. And he wants you to know that now I'm going to face those guys. That is my children. I will face them. Next time they tell you, see money, steal, you will beg. Say, God, let me die in poverty. I'm sorry, I stole money? Never. I'm not going to share it. Some of these things we call Christianity is a fast joke. Some people that are tied to a band refuse to use makeup. I hear that testimonies. Make them DGs first in Abuja. They are as bad as the people they criticize. But you see the turban. Carry Bible, Obadiah Bible, like they say. Worn out as if it's a sign of holiness. It's not a sign of holiness. It's not a sign of holiness. Some say, no, collect the money I used to preach the gospel. There are people in that Abuja, politicians, top civil servants, they are known for it. Even though you are a Christian, they will still collect their kickback from you. What are they doing with it? We used to preach the gospel. You use stolen money to preach the gospel. You are infusing a lie into the system. What is my call again today? Fear God. What did I say? David said, fear the Lord, you his saints. I said last time, and I'm picking up from it again. He said, there is no want to those who fear him. The reason is because the reason why people do things that are against the fear of God is because they feel like if I don't do it, I will lack. And David said, don't worry. Fear God, you his saints. For there is no lack, there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord, that is what he was talking about, is in their pursuit of God, you see the fear of God in their lives. They will never lack any good thing. What men are stealing money to build, you will build bigger things. The world has not yet seen the life of a man, or they have not seen much of it, that's what I would say, who God has blessed, who walks in the fear of God. Listen, if you will walk with God, seek him diligently, he will bless you more than all the compromises of life can ever take you to. The only difference between God and the devil, I say all the time, is time. Well, let me not say the only difference. The main difference is time. The devil says, bow to me, and I will give you, bow to me, and right now, I give you all these kingdoms as your inheritance. God says, walk with me, and be thou perfect, and I will bless you. It's about walk. Satan's zone is that, just do one thing. And let me just quickly say this, why emphasize the difference between the two. Again, people often misunderstand operations of spiritual things. I wish I had time to just sit down and analyze these things in details. Okay, let's just start. We think you need to go to a shrine to bow to the devil. We look at a man and say, that man, you know why he's so rich? He joined a cult. It is the power of the cult that's making him rich. The man who's talking has joined a cult. He doesn't know. What is the cult he joined? The cult of liars, the cult of cheats, the cult of thieves, the cult of rogues who sit in the market and sell fake products. Are you getting my point? Who adjust their scale so that when they dispense for you 50 liters of fuel, what they actually, supposed to be 50 liters, what they're actually giving you is 45. They've stolen your 5 liters. But they feel righteous because they are not members of what they call Ogboni. but they are as wicked as a bony man. The man who sells drugs is offering human sacrifices every day, fake drugs. A man is treated with a particular brand of antibiotics. They don't work. He dies because of his infections. The man who sold the drug is a murderer. The last time Indonesia executed a lot of drug dealers, remember, just a few weeks ago, the whole world begged them. They said no. Three Nigerians also were there. Some Australians, all those kind of things. Now, what the Indonesians said, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm not even analyzing their deeds at all. The point they made is what I want to say. That why they are so hard is that the number of people that die from the effect of this drug on a daily basis, what they are looking at. You are looking at 9 people that are on death row. They said, no, we have to ensure that you guys don't come back. So the man who is selling cocaine, heroin to make money, he doesn't believe he's in a cult, offering up human sacrifices every day. Meanwhile, on the streets of Indonesia, his goods, his products are killing people every day. So he sits down, he's pointing fingers, and don't mind him. The man is in a cult. You are in a cult of liars. You are in a cult of rogues. You are in a cult of murderers. It's just that you did not sit down to kill a goat and dance. And like I told you, all those ones is home video. It's films. They have to be dramatic. Many people, they are serving the devil on a regular basis. They just don't realize it. That's what I'm talking about. So when Satan said, bow to me, he won't call me to a shrine. He said, this is a bowing shrine. Everybody wants to bow, line up. That one is inside home video. Every day what he does is that you join a political party. Sign off on this deal. You know what you are going to do is wrong. They are about to take 200 million naira that belongs to the government and pay into your political party coffers. You agree, you have joined a cult. You agree, you have bowed to the devil. What should I do? If you can't take it, get up and walk home. I won't have money again. That was why David said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no lack or want for those who fear him. That was what he was referring to. Because the issue of lack will come up at a time to make sure that people don't fear God. The one that annoys me so much, this one is even small. The people that annoy God most are those who carry these scriptures and who handle it. That's why James said, when they are volunteering to be teachers, don't join them. That your own judgment is stricter. That's what the Bible says. When you talk to some of them, sometimes say, this is the truth. He said, if we do as you are saying, how will the church get money? That is how to die early. What difference does it make whether the church gets money or not? Truth is truth because it is true. Truth is not true because it gets results. Truth is truth because the Lord said it is true. I've had arguments with people like, when you corner them with scriptures and say, guys, this is what the word is saying. He said, if we do like that, how many times will Christians bring money to church? And I said, what difference does it make? Will you say because without that they won't bring money to church, start telling lies? Like I say all the time, preacher, one day you are going to get injured. You are a worse sinner than a PDP chairman that collects money. You are a worse sinner, listen to me, than the armed robber that stays on the way to dispossess people of their goods. You are using the weapon that's most powerful in life, the word of God. That guy just using a gun. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. So if I light this lie and the money comes in, there was a story I was telling you some weeks ago. I didn't finish it. One man went to a church to go and use the word of God to collect money. I heard the second-hand story, so it may not be totally accurate, but the spirit is clear. When he was done, he said he entered his car, he was going. He said the Lord said to him, just a thought dropped in his mind, or the Holy Spirit spoke to him clearly. He said, if you want to see your wife and children again, better go and drop that money. They had given him his own portion. So the driver turned. I want to live long. The driver turned back to the pastor who invited him. Thank you very much. My spirit says I should give you back your money. I saw it as a seed. I don't need to tell you, he never did that again. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. The thing you are afraid of, don't worry about it. There is no lack to those who fear him. No matter how bad things are, he said in that Psalm 34, He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. The problem with a lot of people, they are looking for things that God did not call good for them. That is the problem. The young jobless boy wants to drive a Lexus. That is what the problem is. At the age of 35, he wants to build a mansion, a house that has 9 rooms. 1,000 square meters free around it, and 4 cars parked in the compound. He has not produced anything. He doesn't even have a wife, not to even talk about children. And he wants a house with 9 rooms. He's a stingy man. He doesn't have visitors. He wants a house with 9 rooms. He's not going anywhere. Nobody knows. Nobody's welcoming here anywhere. He wants to buy 3 cars. A man who, if you gave him a motorbike, the bike will not finish 1 gallon of fuel in 1 year because he's not going anywhere. He wants to buy 3 cars. That is the problem. And when God doesn't give it to him, he says, the Lord is slow. Meanwhile, the Bible says that those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. What I always said, I've said this for years and I still mean it. I know it to be true. Anything I don't have right now, I've asked the Lord for it. I don't have it yet. It's not good for me. And it's good for me to come. That is a matter of fact. The word of God is always true. Always true. He said, fear the Lord, ye saints. There is no want to those who fear him. There is no lack to them. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. What am I saying today? Let me summarize it so I can get into the main thing I wanted to teach today. And that is the fact that the time for nonsense is over. What did I say? It's over. The one that Christians are doing business, you don't know whether when they say good morning, sir, you have to go out and go and check whether is it really morning. You know? That time is over. If you say you are a believer, people should know. I mean, one of my colleagues told a story once to tell you what we need to redeem the name of God from. Say, man went to the market to go and buy things. Maybe it's a building person. A lot of, you know, buys heavy stuff. So one day he finished buying things from the market, maybe building materials. He just found out by accident that for certain reasons, he did not pack all the cash he needed. Meanwhile, they unloaded the truck. It was while they were paying, they realized money wasn't complete. This was years ago. Assuming it's a weekend, he didn't know how to get money and pay the balance. The only option they had was to what? Offload the goods. So he walked up to the man who owned the goods, said, I don't know how to say this. But listen, you know, the money is not complete. Not because there's no money, but because I made a mistake while I was preparing to come. We've loaded the truck. Can I just ask? I know it's like unlikely you will agree. Let me just take the goods away. And we're talking huge amounts of money. That the balance of it, I will bring it either next time I come to market or on Monday, something like that. To his surprise, the man said, no problem, you can go. So the man drove the goods away and came back later on with the more balance of the money and gave the owner, the man who sold stuff to him. So now, he says, sir, I was really surprised you agreed. The man said, I agreed because you did not mention the word God. He said, if I had heard you say God or Jesus or anything, he said, I would not have agreed. He said, just because you said, trust me, I will get your money for you so and so time. He said, that's why I agreed. This man was not a God hater. Don't think he's an anti-Christian. No, it's just that they have used the name of God to defraud him so much that I'd rather trust a man on his own integrity. He's saying that, no, God knows that. No, as a true Christian, hallelujah. You know, in Jesus' name, the man said, once you start that one, I know you're a criminal. That is what people have done with the name of God. Now, when you say, as a Christian, in fact, the one that makes me laugh most now, you say, the Holy Spirit said, even me, preacher, that if you don't want me to believe you, just the Holy Spirit said, I know that what you want to say is so unreasonable. You know I won't agree. So you want to bamboozle me. Put me in a corner so I can't talk. You tell me, Holy Spirit said. These are the words you use when you come to Pastor Banky to talk. It seems good to me that we should do this. Every time I pray, in my mind, I just feel like this is what we should do. You know, sometimes this impression stays with me and I feel it's the right thing to do. Say all of those and I will take you serious. You know why? That way I can counsel you. But once the Holy Spirit said, now I will just shut up. Say, sir, what do you think? How can I think when the Holy Spirit has said? Are you all right? How can I be thinking? If you want to marry a woman, go and tell her, Angelina, I like you. When I see you, my heart does jiggy-jiggy like railway. Angelina, when I'm sleeping, I'm thinking of you. When I wake, I think of you. In fact, Angelina, you are the sugar of the tea, the rose in the garden, the mosquito in the net. Anything you like, call Angelina. Say, I want to marry you. Forget what the Lord is saying here first. I want to marry you. Don't say the Lord said. It's not nice. Are you saying the Lord didn't say? The Lord could have said, but it's like I always say, it's a problem between you and the Lord. By the time you are coming to Angelina, he should have persuaded you and converted you to his own will. So that now your will is now merged with that of the Lord. So you now come according to that and talk to Angelina and give her the opportunity to refuse without disobeying God. Once the Holy Spirit said, again, which one do I do now? If I don't like you, I offend God. It's unfair. Tell the guy beside you, it's not fair. I mean, Ezekiel said, there was a time the Lord said to him, your brother, now I can't remember the exact way now. So and so person will come and offer you to buy this plot of land. And I want you to buy it from him. And Ezekiel said, was either Ezekiel or Jeremiah, one of the two. He now said, listen, as I was sitting down, that fellow now showed up and offered me that land and said I should buy. He said, then I knew that the Lord has spoken to me. That if such prophets can still be in doubt, how much more you that you have never, the only dream you have dreamt is that of the witch fighting you in a dream. And you know that thing is always a lie. All this dream you have been dreaming that your uncle came to fight you in a dream. Let me just tell you ahead of time. It's a lie. I don't care. So I fought him and I won. It's a lie. You want to fight a friend. Won't you hide? Your auntie that came in the dream to fight you is not your auntie. It's the fear in your soul that is fighting you. I'm about to digress. Let me stop. Demons want to clash the heads of friends, heads of family, and they will be believing. Anyway, that's digression, Abby. Let me not sit on it. That's not my message at all. What am I trying to explain? You know, I digress into that. I know where I began from. I'm trying to say that these are the things that we need to redeem the name of our Lord from. People have embarrassed him so much. When people say they are Christians, people are suspicious of them. That's what I was trying to say. When they say they are led by the Holy Spirit, you just know the man is led by a spirit. It's the holiness that we are querying. Yeah, there's a spirit leading. It's the holiness that's the issue. And what is the remedy? That's what I'm talking about. Tell your neighbor, the remedy is the fear of God. That's what I'm preaching. What does it mean to fear God? Fear to offend him. Doesn't mean to have a reverential awe of him. That thing we say a lot in Christianity is not true. We can't face the fact that God can actually be dangerous. That's why we say those things. We should wake up to the reality that the Lord can actually be dangerous. What does it mean to be dangerous? If he says don't go there, you go there, you will suffer for it. One thing you must never do is to count on the forgiveness of God ahead of disobedience to him. That one, don't do it. Let me say it again. Don't count on God's forgiveness when you are planning to consciously disobey him. Don't. He said, the fear of God, the mercy of God is everlasting on those who fear him. Those who consciously disobey him, hoping you have mercy, don't fear him. Points will come in your life. You have to make up your mind who you fear. Are you getting my point? Yes. Points will come in your life. You have to make up your mind who you fear. That was exactly where we ended last time. Let's go back there. Let's read that scripture again. That was where we ended. The book of Isaiah, chapter 8. Please, what I'm teaching is very important. People must fear God. We Christians, we're talking about the culture of Christianity, and that's what I'm talking about now. People must know. We're not doing for them to know, but it should be obvious that because of Christ, because God is watching us, there are things we don't do. Let me say in simple terms. I'm a Nigerian of today, and I'm a member of the Nigerian Customs Service. People should know that I don't take money from smugglers. When goods are coming in, I don't stay at the port negotiating my bribe on them. Your colleagues should know that you're a bad man to post at the border because money won't flow. Do you understand? I'm a policeman in Nigeria of today. My colleagues should know that if I'm the IPO in any case, I don't arrest people just for the sake of arresting them so that they can come and bail themselves out when I know they didn't do anything. They should know. These are the simple things we are saying. I'm a lecturer in today. I don't sell handouts to students. It's a voluntary thing. If you like the handouts, if you like the books, buy. If you don't like, go and read. When I'm grading my scores, I don't care who bought my handout, who did not. I don't care. I score you according to how you perform in the script before me. Because if I don't do that, I will incur the judgment of the Almighty. This is a simple thing we are saying. What does it mean to fear God? It's simple. I'm a preacher in this generation. I know children's school fees, they are accumulating and will have to be paid by next week. I must not take the word of God to raise money because my children are hungry. It is better. Like, you know, there are different ways of disobeying God. There's an easy way that you will not die for. Go to the road and stand. Say, please, I'm a man of God. I have not eaten. It's terrible, isn't it? But it's better. God won't punish you for that one. You will be displeased, though, but I don't mind him. He's a foolish boy. I stand beside the road and beg. That is a better thing to do than to take the word of God to extract money from people's pockets. Do you get what I'm saying? Fear God, that's what it means. Isaiah chapter 8. Remember the statement I made? A point comes in your life in which you say, who do I fear? Very important question to answer. He said, for thus the Lord spoke to me, verse 11. With mighty power, with a strong hand the Lord spoke to me, King James says, and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. Now, please understand this. What was Isaiah saying? The Lord laid very strong emphasis on it. He didn't just say it in passing. He made sure I heard him very well. With an emphatic tone, the Lord spoke to me and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. He said to them like this, verse 12, you are not to say it's a conspiracy. In regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. My emphasis is next line. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy. He shall be your fear and he shall be your dread. Next line is important to my message today. Then he shall become a sanctuary. Please, I want you to understand that. He said, then he shall become a sanctuary. I want to read that line in the Amplified Bible. Verse 14. Let me start from verse 13. The Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. And let him be your fear and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. That is, you don't want to offend God. That's what it means to fear God. That's what I'm going to explain. Just by the way. I think why God led Isaiah to say this. So let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Is that he knew that one day we will come and say, fear does not mean to be afraid. It means to have a reverential awe. That is modern day self-deception. That to fear God doesn't mean to fear. It means to have a reverential awe. When the presence of God is there, you just stand and wave your hands. Afterwards, you go home and go and commit your sin. That reverential awe is nonsense in that context. Fear does not mean to tremble. Oh, the Lord is coming. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want the Holy Spirit to fly away. Mm-hmm. Everybody just say, The Holy Spirit is gentle like a dove. You don't want him to fly away. Everybody just stand straight. That is not the fear of God. You hear what I said? It's not the fear of God. The fear of God simply means that how can I do this and put myself at risk of being punished? That's what it means to fear God. It means that no matter where I'm hiding, he's there. Let me quickly say something to you. I want to digress a bit. You know, I like digressing. And I know you enjoy the digression. Don't worry. So it's two of us. We are both guilty. Both the digressor and the digressee. I want to say something to you again. One of the easiest ways to get your life right, always examine your motives. Everything you are doing, always examine your motives. Please, that is what you must purify before God. He said in the book of Malachi, take heed to your spirit. What is the thing that is pushing you inside? That's what I'm talking about. Always make sure your motives are right. The thing you are doing physically is not one-tenth as important in the eyes of God as why you are doing those things. I just want to add that one to it. And what is the fear of God? For us to know that even though what we are doing physically is good, the fear of God means that I know God reads my motives. Do you understand what I'm saying there? That is the fear of God. I know that he can read my motives and is reading them and is going to judge me according to my motives. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind before I reward any man for his deeds. I want to know why he's doing what he's doing. That's why I keep on telling Christians to come and say, when I give, I will get. You give, you will get nothing. All this giving is producing what? Nothing for most people. Any giving that is motivated by what you are going to get is zero. I like to say this to help people practically. Tomorrow is Sunday, you are going to go to church. You come from different churches. I'm sure at least 15 different churches are represented here this evening. At least. In fact, somebody said more than. Yes, I'm sure. More than 30. Many people, you are the only one from your church. So there are many people, different churches, you are going to go tomorrow. And you are going to hear the gospel in one place. Somebody is going to tell you, come and give right now, and God will multiply your seed, and then you are going to have abundance. I'm warning you ahead of time, don't answer him. So I say we shouldn't give. You know, how will I say that? What I'm saying is this, when they say that, please, oh, the roof blew off last rain, we need to fix it, answer him. Why? You are a responsible child of God. If they say, we have these children that came down from Boko Haram zone, father is dead, mother is dead, we need to give them food to eat, answer them. We have mission next week. We are going to be reaching out to this particular local government. We need money for fuel. We need money for supplies. Answer. But once they say, give this money, you will get. Don't answer. Because you won't get anything. All the other ones I mentioned, you will get something. But don't even worry about what you are going to get. Just do those things and go home. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You hear what I said? Any giving you are giving that's motivated by what you are going to get, you will not get anything. You know, you have not gotten anything. You did it 7 years ago, you didn't get anything. 6 years ago, you didn't get anything. Why do you think you will get it this year? Say, the man of God that came, he has a different anointing. The God he came with has not changed. That God has not changed, so don't fool yourself.
I, the Lord, I test the heart.
Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying there. So that God hasn't changed, and he examines people's motives. What I'm trying to explain here is that's what it means to fear God. God knows my motives, and he will reward them. That's what I mean. To fear God means I know he's my judge. What I'm doing for my boss, I'm not doing because he's a good man. I'm doing it because I must do it as unto the Lord. If the man doesn't reward me, that's his problem. My God will reward me. If I hurt him because I think he won't reward me, that's my problem. My God will still reward me for hurting him. Just by the way, I was on radio a few days ago. It was a live thing. They said it was World's Parent Day a few days before on Sunday. So the radio station was doing Parenting Day Matters. So the nurse should come for an interview. So it was a live program. I was interviewed for about an hour. One of the questions, even before we went in there, the fellow interviewing me, the lady, said that, how do you honor parents that have been very, very abusive, they've been irresponsible, and stuff like that? Because she really wanted to know that I should please answer the question for people. And if you will hear that program that day, I answered it. And I just want to repeat it here again. Go and get my tract, It Is God and I. I don't know whether we have it here. If we don't, just download it from our website, kwm.com.ng. It's just the track section. You see, It Is God and I. I emphasized something there. Remember, I'm talking about the fear of God. I said, okay, I said this inside that track. Anything you do, you are doing as unto the Lord. Every relationship is as unto God. You are relating with your wife, is everything you are doing it as if God is scoring how you relate with your wife. Are you getting my point? Not how she will respond. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? You are relating with your husband, it is not how will he react. It is how will God score me. You are relating with your boss, it is not has he been good, has he been bad. It is how will God score my activities. You are relating with your children, it is not will they like it or won't they like it. No, it is how will God score me. That's why I tell parents, don't say I don't like flogging kids. Who cares what you like? Especially on the father in the house, you must learn it. How to do metered doses of chastisement so as not to injure people but correct them. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not what you like. Love your wife is not how you like it. It is how the Lord likes it. Honor your husband, be subject to your husband. It's not, don't mind him. The way he behaves sometimes is irrelevant. Back to my original question. What about parents who have not been honorable, you know what I'm saying, in that sense? And you're supposed to honor. I said, listen, this was the answer I gave, and I'm giving you here again. God never qualified it. He didn't say, honor your father and your mother if they have been nice to you and very good, then I will bless you. He said, honor your father and your mother that it might be well with you. So what if they have been good? You honor your father and your mother. What if they have been bad? You honor your father and your mother. He didn't say, be friends with your father and your mother. You know, that's another issue. He didn't say, be friends. If your father is an Indian, okay, like, Fela is your father. You remember Fela? Fela is your father. I, you know, he was a 60-something-year-old man when he died. Femi was already in, his small boys, Sheun, Kuti, and Ko, they were already in business when he died. Assuming that you're a preacher, the man must have had children that were Christians who gave their lives to Christ and they were preaching the gospel. It doesn't mean that you say, well, you know, I have to honor my father. What is he doing? This night is a shrine. You know, he's our shrine in Lagos. You know how good the way they are doing. He doesn't say, it's my father that's playing, so I must go and honor him by dancing. Your father was sharing Indian hemp and servicing the gods. He shouldn't go there. That's not honor. Honor your father and your mother doesn't mean they're your friends. We're not discussing that in details. But what I just want to give as an example. That kind of thing, what did the Bible say? Jesus said that the things you should have helped your parents with, you did not do it because you said you have given it to God. He said, by doing so, you made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. What was that word? The word that says, honor your father and your mother. What was Jesus saying? Giving to your parents is honor. And go and read that book of Malachi. He said, if I'm a father, where is my honor? And he was talking about the sacrifices. Honor your father and your mother. Like I keep on saying, you're working today, you earn some money. I know your father, the way he treated your mother. If you were an American kid, you will shoot him. But thank God you're not an American kid. Now you have come to hear the word of God. So what do? Next time you earn some money, forget him. Just remember the word of God that says what? Honor your father and your mother. You just simply go there. Daddy, good afternoon. It is Father's Day. Here is the clothes I made for you for Father's Day. It doesn't mean he's your friend. Periodically, if he's rich, good for you. If he can take care of himself, what do you just do? Check on him once in a while. Bring him gifts. If he can't, and you have the means, make sure he never sleeps hungry. Make sure if he's sick, he has money for medicine. That's what it means. Make sure that you cover his shame. I mean, it's Christmas time, he's going to go home, you know. Buy him fine clothes. Let him look nice also. Don't go home with him. After all, he's not your friend. He's just your father. You can make friends later if you wish. That honor thing, why am I sticking stuck on it now? Many people need to hear it, maybe. That honor thing, it doesn't mean he's not your friend. No, I mean, daddy, how far? Did you watch that Manchester United match yesterday? I'm just talking to him because I should honor him. Hey, daddy, how far? What's happening? We'll hang out this night. It's unnecessary. The honor is one, don't speak negatively about him outside. Don't discuss his faults publicly. Cover his nakedness. He's been irresponsible. You don't have to tell all your friends. Just keep quiet about it. When they are talking about irresponsible fathers, you shut your mouth. That's how to honor him. He doesn't have money, you have. Give him money. If he has money, he doesn't need your money. Give him things regularly. It's Father's Day, buy something for him. It's World Parents Day, give him a call. It's a Christmas, buy him a gift. He's sick, be the first to get there and say, how is he doing? What if everything he did in life is bad? That is a problem between him and his God. Same thing with your mother. The same principle. The way she treated your father. If a woman tries that with you, my God. They go, know which one be you, which one be Boko Haram. Just forget it. What did I say? Tell your neighbor, forget it. Now, this is what we call the fear of God, though. When you do things, you know you are doing them as unto the Lord. It is from God you get your reward. What are you going to do to her? She's your mother. The same thing I described concerning your father. You do the same thing. She doesn't have to be your friend. Your wife doesn't have to go and see her if she's a bad influence on people around her. What's your wife going to visit her for every day, every weekend? So that they can quarrel? That's not honor. Honor is the same thing I've said. Don't speak negatively about her outside. Keep all your anger between her and you. Forgive her as much as you can. When she's in need, give to her. If she has enough money, she doesn't need yours, give to her periodically. She's sick, be there to take her to hospital. She's on admission, go regularly and make sure as much as it lies within you, she's comfortable. For all the wickedness she has done, God will pay her back according to his own will. Part of honor is to even ask God, must you finish the punishment? Just do so, dear Lord. She also needs to know Christ. You think you want your mother to die and go to hell? She also needs to know Christ. She needs to repent. She needs to be forgiven. She needs forgiveness the same way you received it from the Lord. That's Christianity. Part of the thing people know us, the culture of Christianity, that we don't bear grudges. When people will see you, they say, hey, if that guy says he's a Christian, I believe it. For what he has done for his mother. Ha! I don't believe that woman deserves anything like that. But anyway, he said it's their church. He's a Christian. That's a true Christian. When the whole village say, your mother, you will give her money for what? Hey, do you know you were only, you know, you were six and you were the oldest when she walked out of your father? The man didn't do anything to him. To how? You want to give her money now? Don't worry about it. Let me tell you, there are things you do and God will be persuaded more to bless you. If you reward those who have been good to you, what have you done? Nothing. You reward those who have not done any good for you, then you have really, really sown the real seed. That is seed sowing. That is genuine seed. All this one you put in the offering basket and collect something from it is a lie. They bring your offering with a prayer request. It's a lie. When you are giving your offering, give it freely. If you have a prayer request, pray it. Gather your friends. Go and meet that pastor. Say, please pray for me. Don't join it with money. I hope you are getting my point. Do not join it with money. This one of putting your prayer request inside cash is the reason why it will not be heard. You know why? Even the angels can't read through the day. I see Murtala Muhammad. They are seeing Habat Macaulay. They don't know which one is prayer request. They just want to bless a dead man. Tafa Balewa. So, don't miss it. So, people are going to say, this pastor is very, very odd. That's why you came here this evening. Listen, if you want to give offering, what do you do? Give offering. Give offering. Give money because you are happy. Give money because somebody is in need. Give money because you want to honor somebody. Give money because you have been blessed. When you need something, give prayer. What did I say? When you are in need, the only thing you are allowed to give is prayer. Say, Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Say, Lord, didn't Jesus die for me? Lord, because of the death of Jesus Christ, I have become rich. Therefore, this lack, no. We negotiate based on that. While you are praying that prayer, your need is for 10 million naira, but you have 50,000. Somebody comes with a need. His own is 40,000 naira. I say, take, don't disturb this God. We are discussing serious matters. Take. Distract the guy from the prayer room. It's a sign of faith. Are you getting my point? It's a sign of faith. You realize that this is your money. You are an answer to somebody else's prayer. Like I was discussing my wife today, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. What is evil of today? That man has a need. I solve it. This gospel of you, supplies don't answer to prayer. It answers to seed. It's a lie if the seed is money. It's only true when the seed is the word of God. You hear what I said? It's only true when the seed is the word of God. Let's get these things clear. Let's go back to where we were. Now, wow. It's a serious matter. I don't mind digressing because I pray the prayer that God, everybody that came here today must hear a word that ministers to him or her. So that's why we have to be distributing everybody's own. If you have collected your portion, somebody else's portion is coming up, all right? The Lord is good. Now, yes, I remember what I was saying. So this is the point I was making, talking about the fear of God. I went into this, explaining something. That when he says dread, literally, it means fear. All right? And let's not just use this reverential awe of things that we say. What it means is that God, that's why I went into that digression from, it means that God sees my heart, he reads my motives. I obey his will, I obey his word. And I know he can see every part of me. And I know he's the one that will reward me. And I remember that I said, please go and read my tract. It is God and I. So, all right, for more on that. So we're saying that he said, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Actually, that one of walk and now, I didn't get back to it. I'll still get back to it. Okay, let me just quickly dispense of that. That is bow and walk with me. What I was trying to say is that many people are serving the devil. They don't realize it. It's by what they do now. And Satan says, bow to me. That the difference between God's blessings, a major difference, and Satan's gifts is time. That God says, walk with me. That walk means that we do things together. I improve your character. I build up your inner strength. I teach you about life. Then I build you to the place where I can pour a blessing upon you and it will not destroy you. Because the blessings of God, they are waiting. All right? But Satan says, who wants to wait? Bow to me now, and I'll give you everything. And I said, that bowing does not mean you go to a shrine. He just starts telling you the wrong things to do of life. People do them, and they get things now. But listen to me, they never endure. It's not possible. The monies they get destroy them. The fame they get destroy them. These things destroy people. Anything you short circuit the process of God to get will never be an everlasting blessing to you. It will never be a lasting blessing, I wanted to say. It can never be a lasting blessing. Once you hurry up the phase, all right, you leave one phase, quickly get into another. And how you, it's very simple to know that you are jumping one phase into another. When you start doing what is wrong, let's take preacher as an example. You're a preacher. You say, I want international ministry. Let me tell you how to get international ministry. Who wants to know? If you're a preacher here, say amen. Amen. All right, this is how to get international ministry. Do your local ministry well. What did I say? I didn't hear loud enough. Oh. That's how to get international ministry. Jesus said, occupy with this until I come. I'd like to turn it the other way. Be occupied with this until I come. Listen. The last mail I got, that we got in this ministry, was from a man from Cuba. We have gotten mails from people from all over the world, including the man who called from China. We've gotten mails from South Africa. All of it from this place. This place. Just preaching from here. I know things will change. Now, when I say change, I don't mean that I want things to be better, different. No. I know we have to switch ministry pattern after a while. It's going to happen. Not because I desire it personally, but it's going to happen. However, I'm willing to do this I'm doing every week until I'm 100 years old. People will come. They will go. New sets will come. They will take the word we are preaching here, carry it somewhere else. There are things I hear happening from those who I taught the word of God. It excites me. I say, yes, this world is bearing fruit. It doesn't mean it's bearing me money. That's not fruit. How do you get international ministry I'm talking about? Do the local ministry well. When you know you are beginning to miss God, it's simple as a preacher. It's not start networking. Join a group so that they can invite you. Invite a man from America to Nigeria. You don't like what he says, but you are hoping that he will invite you to America. You are a sinner. You know, you've started sinning. And the soul that sinneth shall have problems. This is how you know, you just know you are in trouble. When you start inviting a man, not because you understand his message or love what he's preaching, but just because if you invite him, he will invite you. You are looking for international ministry. You are looking for international damage. That's what you are looking for. You are looking for international destruction of your works. You occupy until he comes. Are you getting what I'm saying? What do you mean he comes? Just wait there. Do what you are doing for as long as it is required for you to do it. And if it doesn't come, do that until you die. That's what I'm talking about, the devil. How he blesses people is when he starts telling them sharp ways. Some of the young boys that are joining politics now, is the end of their life, they are plotting, they don't know. You hear what I'm saying? You know, I'm preaching to Christians, I'm not preaching to unbelievers. If the reason why you want to enter into politics is so that you too can get money, say, you know, I warned you. You are young now. You're about 30. You just crossed 30. You say, quick way. If that is the reason, you're a Christian and I'm talking to you, hear this word, you'll be so poor, you almost commit suicide. See, prayer, I pray for you. Powerful prayer. 3 days will pass. You will be hungry. You won't see food. And nobody will believe. So they won't bring food to you. Why? So that you will know that what you did is evil. You join politics because you want to make money and you're a Christian. I've just told you the word of God. If after that spell of hunger, you don't go back to your work and your business, I will not say what will happen after that. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not playing. Listen, once people start doing things that are wrong, this is how you get into government office. All you want to do is steal money. I know you are planning, and I will not steal, you are going to steal. Those who steal the laws and didn't plan it. It is the spirit that drove them there. That is the reason why they can't control themselves anymore. Am I saying politics is wrong? No. I said, examine the motive. What is the reason why you are going? The way things are going is not right. Young men like us, young women like us, should arise and go there and put things in order for the land. Then God will bless you. He will sustain you. He will increase you. You will see him destroy people just so that he can lift you up. When you have that kind of mindset. You know what God said to Solomon? When he said, what do you want me to do for you? Solomon said, give me wisdom so that I can be a great king and, you know, so I can be a good king and this is your inheritance and all of that. God said, because you had this in mind, You must understand, it was not that day he decided. He already had it where? In his mind. It is what you have in mind that decides whether God will lift you up or he won't. It's what you have in mind. I gave the illustration many times here before. I went to preach. I said, how many of you believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? And all the hands went up. I said, how many people want to become a governor so that they can enjoy? And all the hands went up too. I said, see foolish hands hanging. Any Christian that wants to occupy any office, achieve anything in life so he or she can enjoy and is the purpose, his fellow is going to be thoroughly confused and is going to thoroughly fail in life. That is the order of God for Christians. Enjoyment in life is what God confers upon you. You are supposed to just aim for what is right. You are supposed to aim for purpose. You must aim for doing that which is pleasing in God's sight. Then he places enjoyment upon you by virtue of the things that he gives to you. But you don't get up and say, look at all these legislators. I'm here, I'm working. I'm just slaving away. That boy, he didn't even pass when we were in school those days. And he has built two houses in Enugu here. You now go and join politics. Let me just tell you ahead of time, child of God. The one house you had before, you will sell it. And you won't have another one for a very long time. You will not even have money to pay rent after that. Some people, I'm sure people are listening and they say, which kind of pastor is this one? It is obvious, I'm not a pastor that is hoping that when you enter political office, I will collect money from you. Any gift you want to give me now, give me. Are you getting my point? Once you enter, you become a governor. Me and you, we are going to separate ways financially. It's just my own thing. When you leave office, we will start dealing again. But when you are there, I will be bringing money for you, sir. To have you eaten, take. Because if you indeed are a friend and disciple of mine, you can't steal when you are sitting down there. Say, sir, am I going to leave here with nothing? Yes. Naked, you came into this office. Naked. But look, we're talking about Christian culture. That's how Christian politicians are. You can never be a true child of God if you are not going to enter political office with the intent of returning poorer than you went in. Yes. So, am I going to get anything? The only thing you are going to get must be what is legally issued to you. It must not be a favor from anybody. Don't accept favors when you enter office. I'm telling you ahead of time. Because you are going to be a politician. You are going to win elections. You are going to be appointed. Don't accept favors. While we are there, everything must be open. I like the American system. In America, you are Secretary of State, you travel to the Middle East, one Arab sheikh likes you so much, gives you a very nice car. The government allows you to collect it. You will come back home and go and put it in the museum. The state museum. That this was a gift given to us by the King of Jordan when the person went there in 1987. It's a national gift. It's not your own. That's what I mean. That's what I was referring to. No, every gift that any American foreign envoy has received, you're allowed to collect it too. But if it mistakenly enters your sitting room, they will put you in prison. Those guys are funny. They like jailing people. That's their system. I like that one. Not the jail side, though. I mean the other side. No, I'm serious. You go, maybe like when Condoleezza Rice was there, you go somewhere, she's a woman, some of these rich Arab kings, they give her bracelets, things like that, expensive jewelry, she's allowed to collect them. As you collect them, you come home, you lay it down before the American people, they hang it in the museum. And you, as a child of God, you will do that in this country. Amen. You will do it in this country. Amen. You will enter the political office. Knowing that, sir, this is a sacrifice. My life is on suspension right now. I'm not living here with anything more than my legal income. If you're a legislator, they say there's community allowance. What do you call it? Constituency allowance. You can't refuse to collect, but I'm instructing you under God. Go to your constituency and spend every dime there. What do you guys need? They say we need a new town hall. Get me 5 architects to write their proposal and design on how much they cost. We do bidding, we give to the... And listen, you don't build it well, you know, if me, I can use righteousness to bring the whole money, I will use it to put you in prison. Yes, you know I'm not kidding. I will pay somebody else who you do not know to be checking your work. Anytime the cement is not correct, EFCC, oh God. Shebi, I'm a legislator. I will call EFCC on your case. You go to each constituency and say, what do you guys need? All right, the money remaining is 60 million naira. So, we are offering scholarships to the best schools. We're having a competition. The top five are going to Covenant University, University of Lagos. They are going to UNN to study and any course. And with full scholarship, we pay ahead. Oh, yeah? Shebe, they say it is constituency allowance. I'm talking about Christianity here. I forbid you under God to take a naira home. You're not allowed. Except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. That is what I'm preaching, you know. If you're a politician, you're listening to this, don't come near my church, in quotes, you know what I'm saying? Don't come near me if you are not willing to obey these words that I'm preaching. Anything short of this, you are my enemy. These are my own standards. If you don't want to be a public office holder, hold a private office. Do your business, make your money, we will not complain. But once you enter that place as a child of God, you are going to set an example for everybody. I told you I saw Professor Oliko Iransom Kuti after he was minister for 10 years driving an old Golf in Surulere in Lagos. Professor Tam David West ended his tenure as Minister of Petroleum, did not have a house to go back to. So what are we even preaching that you haven't seen before? What are you preaching that men haven't done before? Professor Patu told me, said that he can stand and dare anybody that's ever given 50 naira while he was in government office to come out and talk. What are we saying that people haven't seen before? What I'm preaching is the fear of God. What did I call it? What did I call it? If you are ready to fear God, you are the one I'm talking to. If you're not ready to fear God, please get away. I'm serious. Don't have time to beg you. So what I'll tell you is that the soul that sinned is in trouble. That money you are chasing after is your problem, they will use it to solve. If you survive the problem, you will come out poorer than before you stole. Why did I come here? It's the Holy Spirit. Because he wants to bless you. He wants you to live long. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to walk in the will of God for your life. He wants to be a blessing to your generation. He wants your children to the third generation to be proud to bear your name. That's why I sent you here. That's why I gave you this message. That's why I said, listen, you have been deceived long enough. You have given offering to people who are only interested in the offering. And they have not helped you. That's why he sent you to listen to this message. Somebody gave you this CD. That is why. Because he wants your career in politics, in public office to shine. To have his glory upon it. That's why I sent you to me. And sent me to you. That is why I can't talk nice today. I have threatened you with fire and brimstone. And fire and brimstone you shall see if you don't obey God. Came preaching the fear of God. Next time you want to open the door, say, God, I hope I opened it correctly. You know what I'm talking about, door now? Not a physical door. Talking about a metaphoric door. You want to step into politics? You join in backbiting, backstabbing, and rigging election. They will impeach you after 7 weeks. And you leave the impeachment office into EFCC detention. From there to trial. After that proper imprisonment, your career in politics is dead. After that, you go into ministry. You will testify. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I am a preacher. Oh God. My time is exhausted for today. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now what was I trying to say? Let me just say it and then please I'll quickly close because my time really, really is gone now. So I was saying that Satan, what he does is to try to bless people rapidly. But God says, walk with me and I will bless you. Now back to what we're reading. He said, remember the statement I made, I wanted to develop it, but time has now gone out on us, so we'll finish, leave it next time. I said that a time comes in your life when you have to make up your mind who you fear. Can you remember that? Yes. A time comes. And that's actually what I wanted to teach today. That was the only thing I came here today with, but as it happens once in a while, or quite often, the Holy Spirit leads us in a different direction, and we follow it. This is the point I'm making. A time comes in your life, you have to make up your mind, who do I really fear? Last time I explained the fact that some people fear poverty. And what I want to bring forth, of course, that must never be. The Lord alone must be your dread, must be your fear. Again, some fear the customs of the people. And that's the one I really wanted to address. There's a time of darkness. There's a time of ignorance. But the time comes in which God says, who do you fear? Everything that's a custom of people, don't ever forget, has a religious background. It has a religious background. And I want to challenge Christians to carry their Christianity to a level where you will become an enemy, in quotes now, to people who like the culture of the peoples. Because you get to a particular point, they say it's New Yam Festival. You will declare to them, my own yam matured last month. Yeah, I'm serious. They say some of these things, we don't realize what we are doing as Christians. Yes. There are some things, times they get people to gather. In fact, I wanted to title my message today. One of the things I want to title it is, how the devil grips some people. One of the things it does is to get human beings confused as to whose likeness and whose inscription is on them. They said to Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? He said, let me show you a coin. Whose likeness and whose inscription is this? Or are this? He said, Caesar. He said, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God. Christians sometimes don't realize that their whole body, their entire life belongs to God. It is not every custom you obey. Some of those customs only put you in bondage. I don't have time to develop it. I'm watching my time closely. That's what I came today to discuss. But of course, we've gone the way we did. So we have to leave because time is gone. It's not every custom you obey. Let me just put it like that. And then life comes in phases. I said to us here before, there are customs that in the time of ignorance, God looked, winked over, you know, just overlooked it. The time comes in which God said, I've given you enough understanding. Some things shouldn't be named with you. I like one thing that came into Christianity many years ago. I'm part of it. My name, I be now Lucino, is part of that, all right? It's not every kind of name you call yourself every day. I'm telling you now, go and look at your name. You have a name that glorifies idolatry. Drop it. Some people say it doesn't matter. I don't know how they came to the conclusion it doesn't matter. How can I wake up in the morning and my name used to be Ogun. I grew up, I said, this thing is nonsense. It's nonsense because I'm a child of God. Ogun lost, he's blind. He's a god of iron. He has eyes he can't see, you know. There was one fellow who lived recklessly long ago. They canonized him after he died and I'll be bearing his name. Why? It was a time of ignorance. It was okay. But God has brought me up in light. So I dropped it and said, my name is Olushino. Thank you very much. What does it mean? The Lord has opened the way. Thank you. It gets to that point in life. Not every... who is that? That's Ogun's child. Me? Lie. Some people say it doesn't matter. Listen. I don't know. I've married my wife now for a few years. How will it be that when she comes comes home, they will call her Mrs. Oyekom? Let's welcome to the microphone Pastor Mrs. Oyekom, and it's my wife. That's Olayinka's surname. Those of you don't know. If Olayinka won't sleep again, he say, hey, I want more people to leave. They want to destroy my life. Oh. Hey. That is, the man is going to be confused. And that's what we do. Sometimes the spirits are like, please, oh, they will send us to hellfire. You are bearing our name. And you're supposed to belong to somebody else. Be conscious about the customs that you obey. That's what I'm going to explain. Let's stop it here. If the Lord allows us, we'll come back to it next time. If not, we'll go up to something else. All right? I believe that the Lord will develop this in the hearts of people. All right, let's bow down here and just give the Lord thanks quickly. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Let's thank him.